Masechet Taharot, and we've been exploring the special Yud Gimel Dvarim, Shlosha Sadavar, Benivlas Oif Tahar. Now, today we're going to be having a contrasting Mishnah, which is about a Nivlat Oif Tameh, and to see how it is contrasted with the Nivlat Oif Tahar. So I think it would be good if we do that. Before we do that, in order to note how well it's contrasted, if we go over the Yud Gimel Dvarim, and also I mentioned to you yesterday that we were doing the second Mishnah's extra things from number 10 up, but the Rambam argues it the way that we actually parsed it into its parts. So we'll do that new approach as we review it. So let me just go over it. One more time, I shouldn't say one more time, if I wish it be zochet to another 100 times, but this morning, one more time, and let's take a look at the Shlosha Sar Davar. So we had the idea of Tzricha Machshava was number one. In order for it to become known as a food, it has to be intended as a food. And this, as we said, is only in the shtetl, in big cities, you find people that will eat anything, and there it doesn't need makshava. Number two is it doesn't need hechsher, not hechsher of mashkin, and not hechsher of tuma either. It's automatically considered to be tame as oichle. Number three, the shear of its being matame is a kibetza. Number four, the shear of its being matame tuma chamura is a kizayit. That's only while it's in the actual Beit HaBliyah. Number five, the tuma that someone has by eating it after he swallows it and he's no longer in touch with it, he is still, even though now he's only Risha in the tuma, he requires tefillah and Harev Shemesh. Number six, he's actually chayiv. If he did not have both tefillah and Harev Shemesh, he would be chayiv going into the Beis HaMikdash, either a korban oil of yared, b'shegeg, or kores, b'mezit. Number seven, it's actually chomur, so that truma is considered to be tameh, even, here we're not talking about the person who swallowed it that touches truma, we're talking about even if the bird, the dead bird, touches truma, because of the fact that we gave it a din of eichlin tameim, because of the gavi concept of sofo letame tuma chamura, it automatically will be metame as an eichlin, and is mechayev truma and sreifa. Number eight, and this is not Nogea the dead bird, this is Nogea the bird while it was alive, then in terms of Avri Menachai, that we paskin not like Rabbi Meir, and ha'ochel Avri Menachai mimena sufeg et arba'im. So remember that this was a big machlokas about whether Avri Menachai is only a din in Behema, which Rabbi Meir holds, or we paskin like Bechachomim, Avri Menachai is also a din in birds. Number nine was that the shechita or the malika, so the shechita of this particular bird, you know, that it turned out that it was a treifa, or the malika, that's if it's chulin, or the malika of this bird, which turned out to be a treifa in the Beis HaMikdash, turns out to make it not a nivlas of. In other words, even though it's a treifa that's aser b'achila, but it was shechted. And that shechita actually makes it a non-nevela. So in that case, there would be none of the dinim of the nevelasa of. This is Rabbi Meir shechita, that either shechita or malika is good. Rabbi Yehuda says neither shechita or malika will make it, so to speak, alive, even though it's dead. Meaning they're not going to save it from the din of nevelasa of tahar, because he says the halacha that shechita is matayras hatrefa. We don't find anywhere for birds. It's only for behema. And Rabbi Yossi says, and remember, this was based on the question of whether we're making a kal v'chomer, that if a nivlas behema, which is matami b'maga u'b'masa, nonetheless, doing the shechita is matzilit from the tume chamura of b'namaga u'masa. So koshekein an oaf, which is never matami b'maga u'masa, and it's only matami b'beit ha'bliya, koshekein shechita should be able to make it tahar from the vela? So if that's the mocker of the limud, so then Rabbi Yossi says, I agree with that limud, and therefore shchita is in fact matayer the treifa. But since we have a concept of dayo min adin liyot ki nidon, we cannot take that any further. Shchita is indeed matayer midein vela. But malika, you can't take it beyond what's given to you with the Kal v'chomer of the Shechita. Mashenkin, Rabbi Meir, remember, learned from Zotorata Behemav Ha'of that the Torah is makish, and therefore we don't have the problem of dayo. So those were the first nine. The next Mishnah that went from 10 through 13 was talking about the dinim of Yad and Shomer, and a similar issue, which is the type of biological material that is called meat when it's attached to other meat, but is not called meat on its own. So it's similar in a sense to Yad Vashemer. And therefore, the way we had it yesterday, which is the way most Rishonim learned it, is that number 10 is the fact that the knafayim, which are the larger real feathers, that's number 10, and that is actually capable of being mittame and mittame because it's a yad. That's number 10. Number 11 is the notza. The notza are downy feathers, which are right up against the skin and are soft, that they can actually transmit this tuma. And this we're talking about over here, that it's not a nivlas oaf, it was shechted properly, and the question of whether the knafayim or the notza would be mekabel tuma is obviously only nogeh if the bird itself is not tame. So here we're talking about the bird that actually was shechted. So therefore, if something tame touches the knafayim or the notza, it will be mitame, the actual flesh of the bird, which now becomes eichlin tameim. So on the other hand, it also serves as a yad on the way out, if it is tummy. However, part of this din of both number 10 and number 11 is that since we're talking about yodais, yadayim are not mitztaref to the shear. So you would still need the full shear in the actual meat of the bird, which would be the shear of, we said it's a machlokas rishonim, whether you need a shear of kibetza to be makabel tuma, you only need the shear of kibetza to be metame. But in any event, these feathers are not able to be mitztarev. Moshe Imken, Rabbi Shmuel, he held that notza is not a yad. Notza is actually a shomer, and therefore it would be mitztarev. So that would mean that number 11 is actually a machlokas. 12 would be that the chartum, which are, again, the area of the keratin melting into the basar, which is the area where the keratin is being formed, and now it's connected to the basar. So that area is considered to be basar when it's part of basar. So that's number 12, the beak, the chartum. And number 13 is the tzipor naim, that these also are mitame, mittame, but they are also mitstarev as long as they are together with the rest of the meat on that bird, so they're considered to also be meat. Fine. Rabbi Yossi also added over there a new halacha, which had to do with the question of whether you could include, after you take off these thick feathers, whether the Rosh HaKapayim or the Rosh HaZanav is considered to be food, or it's like so feathered from the where the roots of the feather were, it's not considered to be meat. So Rabbi Yossi says that area is considered to be meat because in a fattened bird, it would definitely be edible and people wouldn't clip it off. This is the structure of the 13 according to the Rush, which is how the Rav Avadya Mibartanura brings it over here. The Rambam, however, has a different, slightly different from 12 to 13. And according to him, the Knafayim and the Notza together are the, not like we separated out, together are number 10. And the 11 is the din that they're not mitzarif. And number 12 is the chartom et tzipornayim together. Again, not like we did, it separated them into two. And the 13th is that they are mitzarif. That gives us the dinim of the nivlas ov tahor and the yud gimel dvorim. So we now want to contrast each and every one of those things to the din of a nivlas ov tamei. In which case, first thing, obviously, the most important thing that is the difference is that the entire din of tuma on nivlas ov was never mentioned on a nivlas ov tamei. Now, we're medayik from the pasuk, as we'll see, and that therefore all of these inyanim of sofa latami tuma chamura and all of that is not nogea, even the din of tumas neveles is not nogea on a nivlas ov tamei. So first of all, number one, which is parallel to the number one of the nivlas ov tahor, that a nivlas ov tamei also requires machshava, because people in general don't eat dead owls. So that's something which always needs, first of all, for somebody to define that this is something that they're going to eat. So at that moment, it becomes a foodstuff. And number two, in contrast to the nivlas ov tahor, the nivlas ov tamei requires hechsher on both levels. So if somebody decided to eat this dead owl, it's still only going to be makabel tuma if it was exposed to one of the shivas mashkin, and, of course, only if it touched something that was tame, that would be metameit, because it itself is not sofer letame tuma chamura, and it's not considered to be an avela to be tame. It's considered to be a piece of non-kosher meat. And therefore, if it was going to be eaten, and it had hechsher by mashkin, then if it touches something that is actually tame, it will be mekabel tuma. Umetama, tumat ochlim bekibetza. Now, this is similar to the nivlas ov tahor. And there's also a very cute similarity to number four. So the din over here, what we said before was by the nivlas ov tahor, we were contrasting the din of the tumas eichlin, which is the shir bekibetza, and that's still true here about this roasted owl. And there we said that when it comes to the tumah of the nevela, it's a shir of a kizayis in the beis habliyah. So here, kineged that, where there is no concept of the beis habliyah, number four is that it doesn't have any din of tumah in the beis habliyah. So ein ba kizayis bebeis habliyah, which is a contrast. But we also contrast a new thing. And that is in the same way that there was a possibility of being metame the person by eating the nivlas ov tahor. There is also a way to be metame a person by eating a tame roasted owl sandwich. And how is that? That is a tuma derabanan, obviously. And that's called psul gvia. And the psul gvia, of course, is only Aloha min rabbanim, because midiraisa, there's no way that a person can be makabel tumah from an eichlin. However, the rabbanim were geizer that in the case that somebody, and we're going to be getting to this actually in the next perek, this whole idea of the tumas besa, the tumas agvia, if he eats not the shear of a kezayas, and not the shear of a kabeitza, but a larger shear, which is the shear of chatzipras, which is a machlokas, whether it's a shear that's the equivalent of 1.5 beitzim, or actually 2 beitzim. The Rambam holds 1.5, Rashi holds 2, but in any event, it's a larger shear than the shear that is normally going to be matame with eichlin. If a person eats that, so then he becomes tameh legabi truma, and he's not allowed even to touch truma until he's taiva. Fine. So that would be number four, ein ba has no din of tumas kizayit bebeit habliya. Furthermore, if you ate the chatzi pras and you became tameh for truma, so when it came to the nivlasof tahor, what did we say? We said that you need harif shemesh. But we also have a klal that anything, we had this back in Purah, anything, I'm assuming that this is a gavi klal, but if it's not, it should suddenly become one, that anything that is mitame, a person requires tefillah, midrabanan, is not mechayev harif shemesh. And therefore, in here, one of the contrasts to the nivlas of tahor is that since tumas of the gviya is a tumat rabbonan, there is, by definition, therefore, no din of harif shemesh, and he would be allowed to go right away to eat truma. Number six would be, in contrast to the nivlas of tahor, where over there you would be chayev by going into the Beis HaMikdash, here there would be no chayev going into the Beis HaMikdash, even if you weren't teva. The ein chayevin aleha albias HaMikdash, because it's only drabonan, and therefore obviously cannot be mechayev you a korban oil of the yere, and obviously cannot be mechayev you chorus. But when it comes to number seven, it is the same as the nivlas of, because even though this is only a tuma derabonan, but it was a tuma vadai derabonan, and you would be serif a love as a truma. Number eight, haochel aver menachai mimena, a no sofeg et arba'im. So fascinatingly, even though mamaisa, the din when it came to the halacha of the nivlas of tahor, actually not the nivlas of, but the actual of tahor. So we paskin over there that not like Rabbi Meir, and that there is a din of Aver Menachai on an of tahor. But the din of Aver Menachai is always if you would be mutter to eat this thing if it weren't Aver Menachai, meaning if you rejected it. Obviously, you would not have been mutter to eat your owl sandwich, even if it had been shechted. So because of that, if you are Yisrael, then there's no din of Aver Menachai. However, if you're a goy, there would be a din of Aver Menachai. Because for a goy, you would be allowed to eat the owl if it were properly, so to speak, slaughtered. You killed it. But if you take it while it was alive, you would be actually over on your mitzvah of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Nayach, except for the question of whether something that a Yisroel wouldn't be chayev on, is it possible to be mechayev a Ben Nayach? So the concept of the thing is that it's only not applying to Yisroel because it's not kosher to eat anyway. That was number eight.
That's why an owl says who,
because
it depends who ate it.
Oh my gosh, I gotcha. Okay, number nine. If you shecht an owl, it doesn't help. Now, there's not much chiddush in that, since anyway it would be treif. So what good, when I say treif, I don't mean treif, I mean, you know, the popular use of the word treif, a non-kosher species. But what the Mishnah is referring to over here, remarkably, is that if a Jew shechts the owl for the goy, it will not potter him from Aver Menachai until the bird actually dies, you see. And this is why this is nogea, the din of Aver Menachai. Because when it comes to a kosher animal, the moment that a Jew shechts the kosher animal, it's no longer considered to be Aver Menachai. And if a Ben Noach comes along and he wants to eat it, and he says, wait a minute, don't cut off that piece of meat, this animal is still moving. That's true. An animal can walk around a long time without a head. But that doesn't mean it's chai if it was shechted. I shouldn't say without a head, because actually without a head it would be an avail. But certainly, even though it's already dead in terms of the shechita, it's still walking around after the shechita.
The guy who's shouting, "I can't eat that, I can't eat that piece of meat, don't cut it yet," is wrong. Because since it was shechted, and that was shechted for Yisrael, that gives it a din of an eichlin at a kasherim, it's also kosher for the guy. But in the case of the owl that was shechted, since that's not considered to be a shechita, it's not going to be matir the Avram and Achai until it actually is completely dead. So he has to wait until there's no signs of life at all. That's the difference. So if you have a mitzvah of shechita on this animal, then shechita will help not only from the Yisrael, but also to the ben Noach. And that's because lek amidi she mutter li Yisrael, that's also to a ben Noach, another Gabi rule. But in this case, the owl anyway wouldn't have been mutter to the Yisrael, and therefore, ein shechitata mitaharata. Remarkable halacha, we're going to see more of that, where there's an actual din of shechita on a non-kosher animal, and in this case, it doesn't make any difference. We're going to see cases where it does make a difference, actually. And shechita of a non-kosher bird is not going to be mitaharet minavela. So that's the contrast of number 9. Contrast of number 10, I think we'll wait until tomorrow because we've already gone over time. Okay, this is getting really fascinating. Very, very beautiful way of contrasting the dinim of eichlin, the concepts of shechita, malika, Avram and Achai, what's the din of foodstuffs in terms of being metame acherim, the halachas of sefer letame tumah chamura, the din of heksher, amazing, all kinds of incredible general issues that we've all been able to address within the very limited and technical context of the difference of nivlas of tohar and nivlas of tameh. An exciting and brilliant way of presenting the opening to Masechet Taharah. Look forward to more and better times, even better times. Kol Tov.